Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Time for the Friday gathering, and I'm joined by Patrick O'Donovan, Fine Gael TD for Limerick and Minister of State at the Office of Public Works and Flood Relief, Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan and party spokesperson on agriculture. And finally, I'm joined by columnist at the Irish Examiner, Alison O'Connor. And Alison, I'm going to start with you because we got this news of the new variant, a new variant last night. There's only one way that these things are coming in here, would you agree?
I would, Claire, and I suppose it's always, I was watching the NPHET briefing last night, and it's always disturbing to hear of any new variant, given how disruptive they can be and how they can affect vaccines. And I think it's the key issue at the moment, really, isn't it? Quarantine, and I think it's the key issue for the government. And I think people's upset on how it's been handled so far is quite a reasoning behind the results in the Irish Times Ipsos MRBI poll this week in terms of people's dissatisfaction. I mean, I was having a conversation with somebody this week who was saying to me that if you consider people coming, we're not an international hub in Dublin. So when people arrive in Dublin, they would often have landed somewhere else, Amsterdam, Paris, Lisbon, whatever. With the known variants, we'll say, are South African or Brazilian. But as we saw from last night, there can be a new variant from anywhere. We really have no way of knowing the people who are landing in Dublin Airport, for instance, where it is they came from before that, if they have a European passport now. And a lot of people would be dual passport holders. And I think that now I asked the Department of Justice and they told me they're not able to, they weren't able to give me the figures. I asked specifically just in the case of Brazil that they're not able to give the numbers, we'll say, for people who have a dual passport. So, I mean, if I had two passports and I wanted to get back into a country, I'm going to present my European one. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people, I'm not saying people won't be responsible or they won't present themselves, but if we want to, if this is the route we're going down, doing it in a half-arsed way or pretending that it's going to be effective or, talking about people coming from the Isle of Man or whatever, it's simply not realistic.
Yeah, Patrick, what do you say to that? That mandatory quarantine, although it's on the way, it just doesn't go far enough.
Well, I think the first thing we should reflect on is an earlier contributor there, Dr. Navarro, who I think have a very, constructive and give a very positive contribution in relation to where we are. First of all, we don't know where this variant came from. We don't know that it didn't, for instance, come from the north. We don't know that it came by a plane. We don't know that it didn't come from a ferry from the UK. We don't know where it came from. So we can't jump to conclusions until we know where it came from. But we do know that we have it identified.
But I think that's what we're talking about, that we should know where these things are coming from.
Yeah, but he did say that we have to acknowledge the fact that we have it identified, and that has to be acknowledged, that the testing and tracing system has it identified, as it identified the other variants as well. So, the first thing and most important thing is that we need to bear in mind as well that there could be an Irish variant, as someone said during the week, I don't know, it might have been even on your own show, Claire. The reality is that the variants come from the fact that the proteins on the DNA or the RNA on the virus mutate. This virus is out to get us, and it will mutate constantly. There could be a Limerick variant. There could be a Carlow variant, and it will vary.
That's pure variant whataboutery.
No, it's not.
Like
it's not. Absolutely isn't. I mean, if you listen to what he said earlier on, there's a California variant in New York. This is a situation that is all over the world. The virus mutates to get ahead of the vaccine program and to get ahead of the testing and tracing. The virus is out to beat us in the same way as we're out to beat the virus. It is in the virus's interest to beat what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do, and this is what Professor Navarro said, we have to make sure that we continue to do what we're doing.
Matt Carthy, is there a Cavan Monaghan variant?
I would actually be inclined to let Patrick keep talking because he's doing a better job at outlining the government's incompetence than I could ever do. There are a number of areas, of course, that are outside of the control of any government. There are clearly responsibilities on all of us citizens. but there are areas in which only the government can take the necessary action. And one of those areas is in relation to international travel. Another is in relation to ensuring that we have a test and tracing regime that works. And the other is in relation to ensuring that we have the mechanisms in place to ensure that the right controls are in those sectors, such as meat factories, that we know are particularly dangerous and particularly potentially the cause of clusters. On all three of those counts, unfortunately, and it gives me no great pleasure to say this, the government have failed. And this week they've missed another opportunity.
But your party
in respect
doesn't,
of international
doesn't
travel.
Want to talk about travel coming over the border.
Yes, we do. We want to talk about containing this virus across all communities. So what we want to do is be realistic. So how do we contain this virus? We take advantage of the great benefit that we have as an island nation, is the fact that we're surrounded by water. The virus cannot come into this island. New variants cannot come into this island unless it enters a port or an airport. That is the easiest place to contain this virus. So what we've been asking for, and we've been consistent on this since last April, we've been asking for the right measures to be put in place, including ensuring that there's an obligation in respect of testing and also in relation to mandatory quarantine. On all of those areas, the government have been always far too slow.
So if we've an all-island policy, how do you deal with entry into Belfast Airport and the other airports in Northern Ireland? What do you do about that?
Well, on the first basis, it's important to say, because I did hear Minister Donnelly, you know, try and divert attention away from his own failures to the north. So any travel that comes in from into Belfast is coming from either Britain or Ireland. So there's that's not to say that it's ideal. We would want mandatory quarantine north and south. It is very difficult for us in an executive in the north, to be quite frank about it, to try and convince the DUP to make that sort of a move when it hasn't been made in Dublin, and when there's actually no inclination that the government is inclined to do that in Dublin. So that makes it more and more difficult. But nobody can accuse Sinn Féin of not wanting an all-Ireland cross-border response to this virus, because that is exactly what we've been calling for from this week last year when the virus first emerged on this island.
Patrick O'Donovan says you're not making enough of an effort. Isn't that right, Patrick O'Donovan, when it comes to the north?
Well, look, I mean, Matt has answered his own question. I mean, the reality is that he says that, you know, he wants everybody quarantined, but then on the other hand, he's in government in Northern Ireland but can't convince the DUP. And, like, the reality is that the virus doesn't respond to flag waving. The virus doesn't care whether, you know, the DUP are in government or whether Sinn Féin or Fianna Fáil are in government. The virus will get in and has shown its ability to get in and mutate. The one thing that we have shown ourselves, and Professor Navarro said it earlier on, is...
But that's deflection, Patrick.
Hold on a second, I didn't interrupt you.
You're doing the old
Sinn Féin tactic. You're shouting people down.
I'm not shouting anybody down, Patrick.
You actually did. The virus will mutate and is mutating. And actually, what Professor Navarro said, as well as this, is that the next element of this will be in the developing world, and we have to be conscious of that. And how we, as the first world, are going to have to make sure that the next wave will be the developing world. So, in relation to the quarantining, obviously, the government here have the legislation which we're going to have passed in the Senate next week. There's going to be a schedule of countries that will be provided where people will be required to mandatorily quarantine. The international travel has restricted to a trickle. I've spoken to the Minister for Foreign Affairs before I came on the show this morning. The government is already dealing with people that are travelling north in relation to their obligations, providing them with information as regards what they're expected to do north of the border, from the southern authorities providing that. And we're going to continue to do that with the northern authorities. Okay. But it's a two-way process.
Alice, you want to come in there? Go ahead.
Just one final point,
Claire. I'm listening to the Minister, who is making the very point that he's arguing against in the next breath, in terms of that the variants will come in, the virus will mutate. You know, this is why people are concerned. 3,500 people will arrive in Ireland today, be it at an airport or at a ferry. And I mean, the other utterly incomprehensible thing in all of this is that the responsibility for this has been put on the shoulders of the Department of Health, already utterly overburdened. And with the minister, where there are now real serious questions over his competence, particularly after what happened this week in terms of Minister Donnelly. So, I mean, it's a real... I mean, this goes back to the history of the Department of Health, if you like. Traditionally, you're appointed Minister for Health and the rest of the Cabinet stayed as far away from you as possible in case they'd catch any of the contagion, the bad publicity associated with health, and then you dumped on health as much as you can. And here we are in a pandemic and we are seeing the same behaviour. I mean, really, that should be the Department of Justice. So it's yet another example of how the government isn't taking this seriously. And I think when we look back on the pandemic and what we did and what we didn't do, and in many ways, we did a lot of very good things. But I think quarantine is going to stand out like a sore thumb in terms of something that should have been done.
Can I just come in there?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, but first of all, for people that are coming into the country, there is a requirement to have a PCR test. And the other thing is, mandatory quarantine is used in other countries. But mandatory quarantine in other countries isn't a panacea, because we know that in other countries there has been outbreaks of COVID in areas where there has been mandatory quarantining between those people who have been quarantined and the people who have been providing as a staff. So it isn't like there isn't a golden bullet anywhere in the world where any country has said we've nailed this disease.
And what do you say to Alison's point that Minister Donnelly, the Minister for Health, that department just have too many things to do?
Look, the Department of Health in every jurisdiction in the world is swamped in relation to COVID. Every country in the world, the Minister for Health is dealing with the pandemic the same as the Minister for Health.
So he just needs to get on with it.
No, it's not a case of getting on with it. The Department of Health is being supported by every other government department here, whether it's the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform providing the financial assistance, education, justice, transport. Every government department has a role to play in making sure that there's a whole of government response. And I have to say, and I'm going to be very honest, that, you know, from the outset of 52 weeks ago, communications has been a huge part of the response that the government has laid out as a cornerstone in relation to responding to COVID, along with hospitalizations, along with hygiene, along with everything else. And yes, we have to do better. And I would acknowledge that.
You can start today, Minister, because you've been all over the place.
Please don't shout me down. And I know that's the Sinn Féin tactic.
He's allowed to contribute to a discussion and a debate.
But everybody acknowledges from the start of the process, the government has had a communication strategy that, with the exception, and I have to admit, there has been a speed bump this week, but we will do better. We have the trust of the people and we respect the trust of the people, and the people's trust is something that we respect and we will do better.
What was the speed bump this week?
I think, look, there's no doubt about it that there was mixed messages. I would be the first to admit it. And on your show on Monday night, I'm a parent of a senior infant. You know, and I sat there and I got a mixed message. There's no doubt about it. But it was clarified, and it was clarified quickly. And we responded to it. And we have a plan, and we're going to stick to the plan. And look, Claire, I know that people are weary, and I accept that. I'm weary myself. I'm fed up of this disease. I'd love to get to a situation like Professor Navarro said, that we would get to a situation where European travel was opened up and that we'd have particular dates.
Well, he seemed to suggest it was imminent, that there was a deal in the offing. I don't know if you know anything about that.
And I'd love to say that there's particular dates, but I want to move away from a situation where we hang dates in the ether, because by hanging dates in the ether, we're giving people a target that we may not be able to meet. And that's then breaking those people's hopes and cracking their hopes again.
Yeah. There's a number of things, I think, Claire, that have to be said that have just added to the frustration and the exacerbation that people have. Because my experience is, yes, and this last couple of weeks have been incredibly hard for parents, for children, for anybody who's had to close their business down. But all of them are willing to do that if, on the other side, they see that their sacrifice has been met by appropriate action and appropriate competence. And the difficulty that the government have had over the past period of time, it goes beyond, far beyond this week, is that they haven't been able to show that they are taking these things seriously. It is hard to believe. It's just almost impossible to comprehend that here we are a full year after this virus came in place and we still don't have the number of contact tracers in place that the government themselves has set out as being required in order to get a handle on this.
They did second staff from the Defence Forces and other departments, and then when things settled down, they went back to their jobs. Now they're recruiting again.
And
so
you will recall
there were moments when the full complement
were there. Because we said this in your studios, we said the time, the really crucial time to get testing and tracing right is actually when the virus actually is beginning to be suppressed. That is the time to put in place the measure. So it's just, if we look at this week in terms of the rollout of the vaccinations, I've been speaking to quite a number of GPs, promised vaccinations that never arrived, promised that they would be arriving on one day, didn't arrive that day. You know, so they're the type of things that just absolutely knock people's confidence back and will make them question the sacrifices that they're making.
It is important, though, isn't it, that we don't lose all perspective. Hmm. It wasn't a good time for the government in terms of communications. I did find it interesting that the minister introduced that himself. I think it shows the level of pressure about quarantine, that he was the one who brought up the issue of communications. But be that as it may, you know, things are going to improve. Things are going to pick up. The sun is shining outside. Children are going back to school. Unfortunately, none of mine, but children are going back to school on Monday morning. And there is, I know it's we are in a space where we can't believe things till we hear them. But if you were to have said this time last year, and you had projected forward for what we've been through, all the lockdowns, and said, how do you think you'll feel the last week of February? I think the answer would have been pretty crap. You know, so it's no surprise. But I think we do need to, I don't know whether we all collectively need to go out at midnight into our gardens or public spaces and howl at the moon and break some crockery and get it all out.
I'd say that's happening already, Alison.
Yeah, but I think maybe if we did it collectively, it's like we need some sort of a catharsis. You know, we can't, the last thing we need is, if people have spoken about the government losing the dressing room, but if they lose the dressing room, we all lose the match. Do you know what I mean? We've done really well the last few weeks. You saw that with NPHET last night. There was a lot of positivity in what they said, particularly about what's happening in nursing homes and care settings after the vaccines. You know, and we'll all be getting our vaccine.
Just on that now, and just looking ahead, and this is one for you, Matt Carthy. The Irish Times poll today saying 68% of people are in favour of getting back to normal when the elderly and vulnerable groups are vaccinated. Now, according to your strategy, maximum suppression, that shouldn't happen.
Our strategy is that we do whatever the public health advice dictates, and that has always been our position.
But what are you going to do if 68% of people are saying to you, now that the elderly and vulnerable people are protected, we want to get back to normal? What are you going to say?
I'm one of them. I have five kids at home and I can see every day that the strain that this is placing on them. I have relatives whose businesses have been closed for a full year. I want all those services and I want those businesses back in operation.
But have
I want
you thought
it to happen
about
on
that?
The basis of that it's safe to do so.
Yeah,
and
but
that
have you thought about what happens when the elderly people and the vulnerable people are vaccinated and 68% of people are saying open up now and you have to reverse on your strategy for maximum suppression?
We're not reversing on anything, because our position has always been that when it's safe to open services, when it's safe to open businesses, that we do so. But that reopening needs to be matched with a proper testing and tracing and isolating. I can't overstress how important it is that we have those mechanisms in place so that we can reopen and that we can continue the progress towards maximum suppression of the virus.
But would you concede that that's when the massive pressure point is going to come on here?
I think there is pressures already. There are lots of people who want to get back to normal. There are lots of people who are telling me that their mental health, that their physical well-being has been severely damaged, and that they want their kids to go back to school and they want their businesses to reopen and they want some form of normality. And that's absolutely understandable. But they also want to ensure that they never come back to this point again. And that is why we have been saying consistently, and we said this during the previous lockdowns as well, the important thing isn't just coming out of the lockdown. It's making sure that we put in place the measures that mean that we don't return to lockdown again, because I think that would be absolutely devastating if we made progress over the next month or so in terms of vaccine rollout, in terms of suppressing the numbers, that we were allowing the society to reopen again, and then with the prospect that we'd be back to where we were in December 2020.
But you can understand how difficult this is for government to manage this.
And I want to say this is one area I want I desperately want the government to succeed. I am as frustrated as anybody with the government's failure to deliver on areas like mandatory quarantine, on areas like testing and tracing, and on areas like tackling sectors like the meat factories that have been given a free rein for the past 12 months.
Patrick O'Donovan. Yeah,
because like before Christmas, Met's colleague Darren O'Rourke was very worried about 140,000 people working in airports, and he said there should be really no change in relation to aviation travel. And
that's not true.
And his party leader said we should be
welcoming... Darren O'Rourke was calling for mandatory quarantine 6 months ago.
Hold on a second. And his party leader said, you know, people coming home for Christmas should be counted as a necessary journey, and we know what happened in places like Belmullet and County Mayo. So, like, you can't have your cake and eat it, and we know what their situation is in relation to the north. Like, Alison said there about perspective, and she's right. The perspective is there's 4,271 families all over Ireland bereaved. There's 4,271 people dead because of this. Ireland has, relative to the rest of the European Union, one of the lowest death rates. Everything that this government has done hasn't been wrong. We have kept... the vast majority of people in the country have followed the direction of NPHET and the Department of Health and the government. We have kept the death rate as low as possible. The vast majority of people have respected what it is that we need to do, and as a result of that, people have maintained social distancing and everything else, and people have been safe.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's people thinking now about the outbreaks in nursing homes, particularly in the first wave, Patrick, who wouldn't agree with that.
And the number of people in nursing homes, as Colm Henry said yesterday, the outbreaks have reduced to a level now where we can see that the vaccine is working and we can now see the benefit of it. So we are going in the direction where we need to go, and things are getting better, and we need to continue along the trajectory that we're going, because if we are now, as Alison said, just to, you know, to lose that point in the wall that we all need to focus on, it will all be for naught. Mm-hmm. We need to keep going in the direction that we're going, because we have to get to that finish line.
Just briefly, even on a personal level, somebody very dear to me, a family member, is in a nursing home and has been vaccinated now and is not at all well otherwise, who we haven't seen since Christmas Day. And I mean, it's just heartbreaking to think of the people like that who are there, who are being wonderfully minded, but obviously, you know, spending an awful lot of time on their own, looking at people in masks or full PPE, not benefiting from human touch or a hug. I mean, I really hope that Mark Fitzgerald has been tasked by NPHET to look into this, and I know that Nursing Homes Ireland are saying that we could do it with antigen testing, but really, it's an extraordinary situation. Now, we're nearly in March, and it's been around Christmas time, Christmas Day, since all of those people have had a visitor or seen a family member.
But see, this is why people are so cross about mandatory quarantine. This is why people are so cross when they hear the 10,500 people arrived in the country last week, when you can't go down the road to see your elderly parents or your, you know, your friends. This is what's making people cross.
There isn't necessarily a direct equation between the two of those. There isn't a logical link. But you see that it's like, you know, why it's this? The quarantine just looks like this gaping hole, and there is no logic. The quarantine thing actually is going to is forward facing. We really want a situation where after everyone is vaccinated.
Patrick O'Donovan, I want to let you back in.
There's an unfairness here, and it's been omitted. There's already a requirement for a PCR test, and there's already a requirement for people to self quarantine.
That's only a snapshot in time. PCR test.
But hold on, Claire. I already said that, like, where there's even mandatory quarantine, there is no jurisdiction in the world that hasn't got incidents of where mandatory quarantine is the silver bullet. Mm-hmm. There is no jurisdiction in the world.
But there are jurisdictions in which it worked, and your own party leader
even the most isolated country in the world, New Zealand, the most isolated country in the world, has had outbreaks in mandatory quarantine. It is not a silver bullet, and it shouldn't be presented as that, because it is unfair to people to say this will work on its own. It won't.
Well, today in New Zealand...
And in a giant jurisdiction with a border where your own party is in government and you can't tell the people that you'll deal with the Irish Sea situation.
10 seconds,
it won't work.
Patrick, in New Zealand today, businesses are open, children are all at school, the society is operating on a basis, and mandatory quarantine played a role
from
in that.
Anywhere.
Got to leave it there.
Your constituency, Bardon, and other
jurisdictions. I need to howl at the moon after that, there. Okay.
I'll be with you.
You're not the only one.
Thank you all very much indeed. Let's take a quick break.
Today with Clare Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.